In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Oftentimes when we come to church and we hear the gospel being read, one of the things that, I don't know, confuses us or trips us sometimes is that so often in life the gospel seems to be irrelevant. Okay, so often in life we hear a message, we hear something, and it seems irrelevant. Like it doesn't have anything to do with my life. Like we're coming and we're stressed out, and Jesus is talking about love or something like that. Or we're coming and we're happy and he's talking about killing yourself or something where it seems off base. Well, today, that doesn't apply. Because today's gospel is very relevant to these beautiful and blessed days that we're in. Because today, our Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel spoke about food. Which is very relevant to us these days. As most of our lives have been consumed by food for the past 14 days. And they will be consumed by food for the next, 31 and a half days left. Okay? As we consume food and we plan around food and we seek to maximize the amount of food that gets in us. And today our Lord Jesus Christ spoke about bread. Now granted, bread may not be the food that we're all thinking about because it's, I mean, there's no meat inside it or cheese inside it, but so it's yummy food. But don't be too quick to cast out bread, because if it wasn't for bread, we wouldn't have hamburgers. If it wasn't for bread, we wouldn't have pizza, goulash, bechamel at its root. It's really bread. Cereal, all the beautiful things in life come to us through bread. So today's gospel is very relevant for us. But even though he's talking about food today, he's talking about a little bit different kind of food than me and you are used to. He's not talking about a regular food. He's talking about a special kind of food. He said, not just bread, but he said bread of life. When our Lord Jesus Christ says bread of life, this phrase of life, when it comes to the Bible, what does life mean? Like he's describing the kind of bread by saying it's bread of life. Just like if I said bread of Egypt, you know what I'm talking about. The pita bread. You say, if I say bread of the Passover, you know what I'm talking about, that flat kind. Or bread of Chipotle, you know what I'm talking about. Bread of defines the kind of bread. So what's life? When the word life is used in the Bible, what is it referring to? Yeah, it's talking about eternity, right? Everlasting life. He's not talking about life on earth. When he says, I have come that you may have life. He's not talking about that you could be born. Or when it says that I'm the bread of life. He's not talking about the bread on this earth. Life means eternity. Life means heaven. Life means kingdom of God. So he comes today saying, I'm the bread of eternity. I'm the bread of kingdom of God. I'm the bread of heaven. And the best thing that he tells us about this bread of heaven is that it is available for us today. He came to us today saying, I'm the bread of eternity available to us today. So this made me start to think now. And this is a message God has been working with me for the past few days especially. Especially the past few days have been working this message for me, and I've wanted to share it with you guys here. Which is, this is the following. I'll give you the message, then I'll explain it. Just the same way the bread of life, which is the bread of heaven and the bread of eternity, is available to us now, here today. Where he's coming saying, I am giving myself to you as the bread that you can eat today, and you can have a piece of eternity today. The kingdom of heaven and the eternal life is also something that God wants to make available to us today. And when he talks about the kingdom of God has come near to you, and when he talks about seek first the kingdom of God, and when he talks about the kingdom of God is within you, and when we pray thy kingdom come, and we start talking about the kingdom of God and eternity and heaven and all those words, we're not talking about when we die, as most of us think. The kingdom of heaven is not something for you when you die. The kingdom of heaven is something that you should find today. All the readings spoke about this. I'll give you just one of them. Ephesians, the Pauline epistle. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Started off the whole Pauline epistle, which we'll talk about later, but I'll just give you just the preview right now, the first verse of the epistle. Said, now, underline now. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Tell me, where's the household of God located? Where's the household of God? On earth? Is the household of God on earth? Is the house of God on earth? Is the kingdom of God on earth? Is the saints that we're members of on earth? When he says, now, you're members of the household of God, he's telling us that today, today, you should live in heaven. Or better, heaven should live inside you. And heaven is not something that we should wait to experience. And heaven is not something that's far away from us. But heaven is coming. Just like I said, if the Lord said, seek first the kingdom of God, and then he later on told us that seek and you will find, connect the dots there, that he wants us to find the kingdom of God here and now. Heaven, sometimes we have a wrong idea, is that we live on earth, and we hopefully are good, or maybe we're bad, and maybe we repent, and maybe we fall, this and that, and then we get to the end, and we cross our fingers and really, really hope we get to heaven. Look here. One of the church fathers, I can't remember which one, I think it was one of the desert fathers, I don't remember, said that heaven and hell is not a surprise. It's not a surprise. Is those who lived in heaven on earth will continue to live in heaven for eternity, and those who lived away from heaven on earth will continue to live away from heaven in eternity. In other words, it's your choice. Okay, it's not a matter of rolling the dice and hoping you get lucky at the last days or waiting in line and maybe he's nice. It's not like that. It's you have a choice. Is the kingdom is before you, and you can choose to get close to the kingdom and live in the kingdom. And if you do, what heaven, what eternity is a magnifying lens. Those who chose to live in the kingdom will get magnifying, get more kingdom and greater kingdom and closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. And those who chose to stay away, God says, you want to stay away? You're welcome to stay away. And it magnifies that decision as well. Let me ask you a question. If I offered you the kingdom of heaven today, would you take it? If I offered you today the kingdom of heaven, forget about the earthly kingdom of heaven. The one I'm talking about now is I offered you today that you go to the kingdom of heaven today. Would you take it? Don't answer too quickly there. Some people, I saw a lot of heads nods, and that's really good. Some people deep inside would say no. Some people deep inside would say no. For those people who say no, I can't do anything for you. You can go to sleep the rest of the sermon because there's really nothing I can do for you. The gospel that was read to us was from John chapter 6. And actually, the Vespers Gospels last night and the Matins Gospel this morning was the start of John chapter. We read almost all of John chapter 6. And the part before what we read was when our Lord said, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. And that part that like was read during Matins, or the beginning of John chapter 6, he's pleading with the Jews, saying, trust me, I got good for you. And they said, well, give us the bread that you gave us and the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, don't worry about that food, worry about this food. And then they said, well, where are you going to get that food? Moses couldn't get that food. He said, trust me, man, I got that food for you. And he was pleading with them and trying to show them. And they didn't want to get it. Why? Because like some of us, I hope none of us, but some of us, our preoccupation is with this world. And you say, you want to live in the kingdom of heaven? Well, let me just finish this, and let me finish that, and let me get that, and then. And we're preoccupied with things in this world. For that person, there's nothing I can do for you, man, except pray for you. But for those who said yes, I would go to the kingdom today. Now, granted, some of us said it maybe hesitatingly, okay? But that's okay. Some of us said it hesitatingly, but that's okay. What we need to figure out today is it true that I can taste the kingdom of heaven here on earth? Is it true that I can today, May 11, Mother's Day, okay, even if I'm not a mother or a father or whatever, this and that I can live in the kingdom of heaven today? And if so, how? All the readings today mention the same word, which is the word life, which I already told you is not talking about life on this earth. Let's look at the Catholic Epistle. Just an excerpt from the Catholic Epistle. And read it again. Maybe you weren't paying attention the first time. Read it again in light of what I'm saying about life being eternity. Life is heaven. Life is kingdom of God. And read it again. He who believes in the Son of God has this witness in himself. He who does not believe, God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. Basically, that first verse just says, some people believe what God says, and some people don't believe what God says. What does God say? That's the next verse. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I've written to you that you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Have. not will have. And look what it said in the beginning, that God has given us. Has given. It's not a future thing. Not saying we'll hopefully give you one day. Or not saying if you cross your fingers and be good and give money, then hopefully you'll get it. He's just speaking about a past and a present. No future here. Because God has given to us eternal life. And that life is available to us, every one of us. Not for 100 years from now. Not for a million years from now. But for today. How? Simple. He who has the Son has life. If we have the Son of God, then we have the kingdom of heaven. What is heaven? Heaven, as we read in the book of Revelation, it read on Apocalypse night, is where there is no sun and there is no light, because the Son of God is the Son. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son, because he's all in all. He fills everything. What is heaven? Heaven is Jesus. And heaven is fullness of Jesus. So if we have fullness, if we have Jesus now, and we have the Son of God now, we have the kingdom of heaven now as well. You remember when our Lord Jesus Christ sent out the 70, okay, and he sent them out into the villages. And he said, if anyone rejects you, remember what he told them to say? If anyone rejects your message, say you wipe the dust off, okay, and you leave there, and you say, nevertheless, the kingdom of God has come near you. And he's telling them, tell the people, they missed the kingdom of God this day. Because this day you were carrying me, carrying my word, carrying my message, and those who chose to reject it didn't reject you. They didn't even reject me. They rejected the kingdom of heaven. It has come near to you, and you missed it. That's why I say, anyone who gets confused about God sends people to hell and doesn't send people to hell, that's nonsense. No one is rejected from the kingdom of heaven. Only those who choose to reject it. No one is rejected. Okay, those Jews who were in that city, and they say, oh, God sent you to hell. No, God didn't send you to hell. God sent you the kingdom. You sent the kingdom back where it came from and said, I don't want the kingdom in my house. I don't really want the kingdom today. Send the kingdom back tomorrow or the next day. You rejected the kingdom. Don't say the kingdom rejected you. Okay. If that's true, where do we find the kingdom? If I said if you find the Son, or I said, St. John said, if we have the Son, we have life. And if we have life, we have the kingdom. Where do we find the Son? Obviously, we can talk about many answers here, but the Pauline epistle from today spoke very, very beautifully. Okay? We'll start. Okay, we read the first part there. I want to go down this. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. What he's going to talk about now is how he found the kingdom of God. How he found the kingdom of God and found life. That's the dispensation. Okay? The grace of God which was given to me. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Here we go, ready? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. I know it sounds confusing. What did St. Paul say before we read on there? What did St. Paul say? Okay, he started to talk about how a mystery was revealed to him. Even though he was a sinner, a mystery came and was revealed to him. What was the mystery that was revealed? The mystery is right there. It said that Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. What does that sound like when I say fellow heirs of the same body and partakers in Christ? What does that sound like? What do you think that's referring to? Fellow heirs of the same body and partakers in Christ. What is he referring to? I'll give you another hint. Let's go back up one screen here. There's a word that's repeated only one time right there. But one time, other time before. Two times in those verses that I showed you. The word at the very bottom right here is mystery. The word mystery is repeated 3 times in that verse. I can't see it up there, forgive me, but it's, believe me, it's up there. You can look it when you get home. It's Ephesians chapter 3 in the beginning. The word mystery is repeated 3 times. So I'm going to give you the 3 clues that tell you what St. Paul is talking about. Mystery, partakers in Christ, and heirs of the same body. What are we talking about? Communion. Talking about communion. Same body, body, body. Partake, don't we say, partake of him, eternal life, given for remission of sins and eternal life to those who shall partake of him. That's what we say 1,000 times. Given for remission of sins and eternal life to those who shall partake of him. And then the word mystery. Do you know what the word mystery means? The word mystery in Greek, mysterion, okay? You know when we talk about the sacraments of the church, baptism, chrismation, communion, repentance, marriage, the sacraments. The word sacraments comes from a Greek word, which is mysterion. That's why the word sacraments is not the best word to describe it. The best word is the mysteries of the church. What we have up here is the mysterion, and that's the word that's used in the Bible, and that's what we're talking about. Why? Why word mystery? Because the sacraments, or the mysteries, are all something that you see, but you don't see. That's what's up here. You see, but you don't see. It's a mystery. You come up here, you see bread, but you don't see what's inside, what the bread is. You see wine, but you don't see. You see water back there that gets dunked in, but you don't see. St. Paul here is speaking about a communion. And St. Paul found the communion. Where did St. Paul get communion from? Well, that's what he's talking about here on the road to Damascus, when our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him, and he had communion with our Lord Jesus Christ. Did he have the same liturgy we have? Not the same liturgy. But communion, there's 2 forms of communion. Or there's 2 ways, I should say, that we can look at communion. There's physical, and then there's spiritual. And I think that oftentimes we focus on physical, which is communion. But then there's a spiritual communion that we should have on Mondays. Some of us only take physical communion on Sundays, maybe Wednesdays and Fridays as well. But that doesn't mean we're not supposed to have communion on Mondays. And that doesn't mean we're not supposed to have communion on Tuesdays. And that certainly doesn't mean we're not supposed to have communion when we go on vacation away from church. Because the communion is always there for us. If we can find him, then we can find life. In the same way, we get it up here, we can get it spiritually as well. If I had to come up with a definition of what is life, that he's trying to give us this life, I would say communion. Physical communion, but also the spiritual communion that we can have in our room when there's no one there. The spiritual communion that St. Paul had on the road to Damascus when he saw our Lord Jesus Christ and he had that revelation of the mystery that the Gentiles could be partakers. Our goal is not to wait for communion. Our goal is not to wait for life. Our goal is to find it today. Our goal is to find this communion and to stay there and live there all the days of our life. I'll give you another story that confirms what I'm talking about. The story of the Acts of the Apostles today. Funny story. Every time this story is read in the church, I'm going to talk about it because it's the funniest story in the world. It's a story about when St. Paul in Acts chapter 20, St. Paul was preaching. Okay, it says they broke bread. Okay, so he did the liturgy. And then, in the middle of the liturgy, he started to give a sermon. He did like what I did. He talked too much, and he put people to sleep. Okay, and one of the guys, okay, everyone's waking up right now. Okay, one of the guys who fell asleep, watch this one, for you who sleep during sermons, fell dead. He died because he was sleeping during the sermon. Message to all of you who sleep during sermons. He fell asleep. He was sitting by a window. No joke. He was sitting by a window, and St. Paul was really, just really going in the Bible, really going. And his guy started leaning back, and he fell out the window, 3rd story, and he hit the ground. I'll give you just the end, tail end of it right here, in case you think I'm lying and making it up. In a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. Many of you can relate, I'm sure, especially as the temperature is nice and warm in here today. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the 3rd story and was taken up dead. I'm not making this stuff up. Acts chapter 20. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak he departed, and they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Let me ask you a question. In the middle there, St. Paul says, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." The boy fell out the third story and died. And the doctors came and did the pulse, and he's dead. And they did the clear thing and everything, and he was gone. This guy was dead, dead, dead. And St. Paul comes and says, "No, no, no, life is in him." First I read and I said, St. Paul just doesn't want to be blamed. He says, "Yeah, yeah, he's alive, and he's going to run away as fast as he can before they catch him and beat him and kill him as well." Is that what St. Paul's doing? Every word of Scripture is inspired by God, and even this word is inspired by God, and God is the one who said, life is in him. Was life in him? Was there life in this boy? Physical life? Was there life in him? No. Because again, the Scripture is written by God, and the Scripture says that he was taken up dead. The Scripture, okay, not Dr. What's-His-Name. The Scripture, the Bible, says he was dead. And the next verse said, but he had life. What life? What life? Oh, that life. See, for this moment, Eutychus lost this life. And he gained it back eventually, but I don't care about that life. But even though he didn't have this life, he had another life. He had the kingdom of heaven life. And that's what St. Paul is talking about right here. Where was that life found? Where was the life found? Where did Eutychus find his life? What were they doing? And breaking of bread, which is what? Which is communion. And now we've come full circle. Life is there for us. Life, that life, is there for us. And it is found not in prayer, not in fasting, not in anything that we do, but it's found in communion with God. And yes, we use those things to get communion with God, but don't think that those things are life. And don't get fooled by just doing things to think that gives you life. Life is found in communion with the Son of God. And when we have that communion, that mystery, we have eternal life. And then we know something that even the angels in heaven don't know, and the archangels. You know when there's a piece in the Gregorian liturgy we pray, and it comes from the Bible, where it says that we have what angels desire to behold. We have what angels desire to behold. Archangel Michael and Gabriel and Raphael and all those angels and the cherubim, the seraphim, that's why we praised them a few minutes ago. And we said the cherubim, the seraphim, all those guys are chanting and screaming because we have something they've never seen before in life. We have something they've never seen before in life. You know what we have? We have a great mystery that we can have communion with the Almighty. They can praise him, they can glorify him, they can worship him, they can sing to him, they can pray. You can pray, they can pray. You can sing, they can sing. You can worship, they can worship. But one thing that we have that no one else has is that we can partake of him and we can have communion with him. And I think the goal of life is to have that communion. These days, we celebrate resurrection. Really? I'm saying this with all my heart, should be the most spiritual days of the year. And they should be, as we call them, the holiest days of the year, the holy 50 days. Why? Because it's a chance that every single day, the risen Lord, who is in our midst now, is in our midst. We're not just doing hocus pocus and the procession and stuff that we just do for the sake of doing. The risen Lord who is in our midst. Every day we have a chance to have communion. Some days we have communion here, which is great, but don't just stop with the communion here. Is that every single day we can go to our room and have communion. That we can commune, have communion means oneness or unity, okay, with the risen Lord. And every single day that we have that, we have eternal life. Don't wait till you die to taste eternity. If you're waiting till then to taste eternity, why are you living? You think the Lord wanted us to suffer here for hundreds and hundreds? You think someone like Noah, who lived to be a million years old or 900 something years old, had to wait? That's torture. To wait 900 years to taste eternity. You don't think he wants to give us eternity right now? Last thing I'll give you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 22, which is again read to us in the Pauline epistle. says, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Doesn't that sound like communion? You, a dwelling place for God. Doesn't that sound like communion? God comes and dwells in you. Well, I have news for you. It's not just in the body, but in the Spirit as well. Ask yourself this question. How much time you spent May 11, 2008, to be a dwelling place, to have that communion with the Almighty? Forget about it. How much time you plan to spend on May 12th, and May 13th, and May 14th, and May 15th? 10 minutes? 20 minutes? It's your call. But I'm telling you this, that there's a life that's available to us, and you don't have to wait till you get there to get it. And the goal of life, like it says right there in that little picture, is to have communion, and to find that communion, and to live in that communion every single day of our life. Glory be to God forever. Amen.